Today, we're going to share one piece of information you need to understand before you even consider buying in a suburb here in Brisbane. If you're a property investor, it's important to understand how often is your tenant likely to relocate out of your investment property? Because we know, of course, that costs money. As a home buyer, it's good to understand your neighbourhood and who your neighbours are likely to be, both now and into the future. How would you feel if nearly 80% of people in your suburb were to relocate elsewhere within the next 5 years?
Welcome to the Brisbane Property Podcast with your hosts, Melinda and Scott Jennison from Streamline Property Buyers, your local Brisbane property specialists.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Brisbane Property Podcast. Scott and Melinda here, and today's episode is top 10 suburbs where people don't like to live in Brisbane.
Yes, welcome back, everybody. This is important for a number of reasons. Of course, when you are purchasing property, whether you are a property investor or a home buyer, it's really important to understand you're buying into a neighbourhood, and the people within that neighbourhood really make up the atmosphere or around the property that you're looking to buy. You may recall from some past episodes that we do a lot of suburb level research in-house here at Streamline Property Buyers. And if you would like to reflect back on some other information that becomes relevant when you're looking to purchase a property, you might like to go right back to episode 153, which was in April 2023, where we talked about which suburbs are at risk of mortgage default in Brisbane. That was a really good episode, especially because it's going to help you understand those locations where people are more stretched, especially in a higher interest rate environment. It gives you a snapshot view of the demographics of the people that live there. Episode 197, more recently in February, also talked about where listings are the tightest across Brisbane. Again, suburb level information that's going to help you identify some of the things that we should be researching and looking at when we're selecting a location to buy. And another one that I will mention, in episode 193 in January, we talked about the highest crime suburbs here in Brisbane. And again, we gave some suburb level information in terms of how you can determine which suburbs are going to be more impacted by crime compared to others. So these past episodes, along with the information that we're going to be sharing with you today, all really form part of an understanding of who lives in a location, how long they're going to live in that location, how affordable that location is for those people. And that sort of information should help to form part of your decision-making process as to whether it's a suburb that you're wanting to purchase in, whether you're a home buyer or an investor.
So it's really important, like when we, before we get into this information, when we start to look at properties, we'll look at things like how many owner occupiers are there, how many rentals properties are rented in the area. I mean, we've lived in our location for 20 odd years, and we've seen it change and gentrify over the years, and how many people have come and gone and changed from those areas, how many rental properties, we tell you that straight away, just living in our neighbourhood and knowing our street. We also look at things like coffee shops and cafes. And so it is really understanding who lives in those areas. And it's also important then how quickly they change and how people come and go and change from those locations as well. The information we received, it's from a census data, I believe.
It is. So again, the in-house research team, big shout out to Pauline, who's collated this information from the 2021 census data. That is the most recent data available. At a suburb level, we have assessed every single suburb in Greater Brisbane, and we've determined the number of residents who live in a particular suburb at that point in time, which was census night 2021. And we've calculated a percentage of those individuals that lived in the same suburb 5 years prior. So this enabled us to gather information on how many people stay in a particular place or the place of usual residence 5 years ago, and how many people live in a particular suburb for a shorter period of time. And this is a useful indicator so that you can get an understanding of how transient the neighbours might be in a particular neighbourhood. So we hope you enjoy this episode.
And it will, it does change. It's interesting because I have looked ahead at some of the suburbs, and it is quite interesting that the places and it's, you can probably see a bit of a pattern through them when we go through them as well.
We will talk about that pattern. Yeah, absolutely. I do think people do want to know who their neighbours are going to be. I think that becomes important for people who are buying in a particular suburb at times. It's also good to know how frequently your neighbours may relocate. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're selling, because some neighbourhoods where you might have a higher portion of investment properties, you might see that neighbourhood transitioning more frequently in terms of the number of people coming into and moving out of that suburb over a 5-year period. So we have a lot of clients that we're partnering with us who ask us a lot about the neighbourhoods, especially home buyers. They're really wanting to understand the neighbourhoods. And if they're not from Brisbane, these are some of the metrics that we can use to help people understand more about the neighbourhood rather than just, you know, what the neighbourhood might feel like for locals that are living in the area.
So if we jump into the, and we'll start at the, I guess, start at the very top.
Yep.
And the number one suburb where people, I guess we say, don't like to leave, is where we put it, is Cashmere. Cashmere is on the northwestern outskirts of Brisbane. It's near the foothills of the Agula Range, surrounded by a lot of forest. And it's north Lake Sampsonvale, which is west of Warner as well, about 27 kilometres from the CBD.
And I will say Cashmere is also in the Moreton Bay region. So not in the Brisbane City Council region, but the Moreton Bay City Council Shire. And total number of residents in the 2021 census was 4,734. And of those, 68.61% were in the same suburb 5 years prior. Now, that is the suburb that we've assessed based on all Greater Brisbane suburbs that has had the longest or the highest number of people that are still living in the same location after 5 years based on the previous census data. So, yeah, pretty interesting information. And we're going to run through the other nine so that we can complete our top 10 list.
And so the next one is also in the Moreton Bay region as well. It's Eaton's Hill. So it's South Pine River sort of area. It's a bit of a residential development. So it did get heavily developed, I would have thought, in the probably the last 10, 15 years, where a lot more developments went in the area. There's a big Eaton's Hill shopping centre and hotel out there where they do a lot of concerts and whatnot. And it's about 22 kilometres, and it's also northwest of the city.
Again, another suburb in the Moreton Bay City Council region. It's actually not far from Cashmere, a little bit closer to the CBD, as Scott's pointed out. Residential development in the area actually only began in the early 1970s. So prior to then, it was largely rural. Eaton's Hill generally now consists of low-density residential housing, but there is still a portion with acreage properties, which is in the western portion, sort of between the back end of Eaton's Hill leading out towards Samford to the west. Yeah. So a lot of residential development actually happened in and around the regions closer to the CBD within Eaton's Hill in the late 1990s. So it's much more or a relatively new suburb compared to a lot of suburbs that we have in Brisbane. But when we're looking at the population of this particular suburb, as at the last census, we had 7,397 residents within the suburb of Eaton's Hill. And of those, 66.2% resided in the same suburb 5 years prior. So that is the second highest number of people that chose not to relocate within that 5 year period and stay within the same suburb.
Nice area to go for a drive. You go out through Eaton's Hill and head out towards Samford and do a big loop of that Samford area. It's actually quite a nice drive out through there. The next property is Middle Park. Middle Park is in Brisbane City Council. It's southwestern suburb in the Centenary suburb. So you go out Centenary Highway out through that area. It's 19 kilometres from the CBD as well.
Yeah, and interestingly, Middle Park is a suburb that's got a lot of large brick and tile homes. The typical Middle Park house, here's an interesting fact, is around 220 square metres, so quite large in area on a typical block size of around 600 square metres. A lot of open plan living, lots of bigger houses, so 4+ bedrooms, 2+ bathrooms, those sorts of things. It's a single story brick and tile type of suburb, but there are a lot of larger double story homes in the area as well. So this is the sort of suburb, as Scott's mentioned, in the western suburbs and, yeah, within the Brisbane City Council region. 65% of residents lived in the same suburb for the 5 years prior to the 2021 census, and a total population in 2021, according to the most recent census, of 3,660 people.
So the next one, and we've gone back out to the similar area as I was doing that loop from Eaton's Hill around through Sanford. If you come back in around that other, that big loop that I'm talking about, you come back in through Fernie Hills area. Hmm. Fernie Hills is also a part of the Moreton Bay region, and it is 6 kilometres from the CBD. Featuring out there is the Australian Woolshed.
I think you mean 16 kilometres.
16 kilometres, sorry.
I was thinking that's got mighty close compared to when it was last time.
16 kilometres. The Australian Woolshed, I think it's still out that way. I haven't been out that way. Closed down. I was going to say, I haven't been out there for years. But a lovely area, nice hilly sort of area, Fernie Hills, Moreton Bay region. Population 8,251, and 65.94% live there. Still.
Scott, you're giving away who's out and about more often on the ground, because mm-hmm. I've certainly been out Fernie Hills way many times over the last several years, and the Woolshed, in fact, has been demolished and residential development has been built in its place. It's called the Woolshed Grove. Ah. So there you go. I know we used to live in the Hills District, and when we lived there, the Woolshed was a very popular place for us to go go down to, but that's all, many years ago. It's now being demolished and replaced with more residential housing. So Fernie Hills, as Scott's pointed out, also in the Moreton Bay region. In fact, it's in the southernmost part of the Moreton Bay region, and very close to Fernie Grove and the train line that takes you directly into the CBD. 8,251 residents living in this suburb as at the census in 2021, and of those, 65.94% also residing in the same suburb 5 years prior. So again, not much turnover compared to other suburbs in this particular location.
And the next one after Fernie Hills is Brookfield. So Brookfield is in Brisbane City Council, and it's located to the west of the CBD, approximately 17 kilometres. Quite rural, some of the areas, and you do, there's the Brookfield where they have ride the horses around the showground out there. So there is quite a bit of rural area in the Brookfield location.
I think there's also a small number of farms still out that way, but the vast majority are very, you know, high-end luxury homes in this particular area. Total population in Brookfield at the last census was 3,514 residents, and of those, 63.77% also lived there 5 years prior. So again, not much turnover in terms of people coming and going in that particular location. I wonder if any of our listeners are, you know, identifying any trend at this point in time.
Yeah. The next one is Belmont. Belmont, if you'll head sort of southeast from the CBD, approximately 13 kilometres, you'll head down through, so you can access down through the Gateway Motorway, Old Cleveland Road, and down towards Belmont, heading out towards sort of Chandler, and the Belmont Rifle Range is out that way as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of undeveloped blocks, and they're mixed in with some large rural properties. We do have some built-up areas coming through in Belmont now as well. So a little bit of a mix in terms of the housing stock that is available in that suburb. It is on the outermost areas within the Brisbane City Council region. At the last census, 4,225 residents living in Belmont. And of those, 63.22% also resided there 5 years prior. So again, fairly tightly held in terms of the number of people that are staying put in that particular suburb.
And the next property is Rochedale South, next location.
Suburb, yep.
Rochedale South is in the Logan area, and it's 21 kilometres from the CBD. quite a lot of residential around that area, and the numbers actually have improved that as well when you look at 14,223.
Yeah, that's a lot of residents in that particular location. And interestingly, of those, 62% also resided in the same location 5 years prior. It is the only suburb from the Logan City Council region that makes our top 10 in terms of the number of people that are in the same location compared to 5 years prior. And the Rochedale South is the northernmost part of the Logan City Shire. So in fact, its northern border borders the Brisbane City Council region as well. I think 1979 is when Rochedale South actually became its own suburb, and it was split from the larger suburb of Rochedale itself.
So after Rochedale South, we've got 17 Mile Rocks. Again, you're looking towards the southwest of the CBD. And it is about 17 kilometres approximately from the CBD, 17 Mile Rocks in Brisbane City Council as well.
Yeah, so it's bound in the east by the Brisbane River, partly bound in the west by the western bank of Jindalee Creek as well. And there is a bit of industrial within 17 Mile Rocks, as well as some residential areas. For those that may know the Rocks Riverside Park, it's to the northeast of the suburb, a newer estate, although it's been there a number of years already. But the population of 17 Mile Rocks, 2,550 people at the 2021 census, and of those, 62.86% resided in the same suburb 5 years prior.
And the next one back in the Moreton Bay region as well is Albany Creek. Quite a large area, Albany Creek, approximately 19 kilometres northwest of the CBD, and very large, 15,546.
That's 15,546 residents that live in the location. Geographically, it's quite a large space as well. I will say that initially, Albany Creek was a rural area, and it began to develop as a suburban area in the 1960s as Brisbane, in the metropolitan part of Brisbane, started to expand. So of those 15,546 residents, 62.75% resided in the same suburb 5 years prior. So again, most of these fairly consistent in terms of the actual numbers.
And rounding out, we've got Cinnamon Park. So Cinnamon Park, again, is Brisbane City Council, southwest of the CBD, 16 kilometres southwest of the CBD, and it's also along towards the Brisbane River area as well.
Yeah, it's bound to the north by the Brisbane River as well, and it's bound to the east by the Jindalee Creek. So I think the Western Freeway is the western boundary for this suburb as well. 6,308 residents at census night in Cinnamon Park, and of those, 62.41% are still in that suburb or were in that suburb 5 years prior. And I think when we're looking at the top 10 list here, there's actually a lot of locations in the Centenary region, in the inner southwest region. There's a few in the northwest region as well, but there's something that a lot of these suburbs do have in common, and I'm wondering, Scott, if you have identified that as well.
They're not close to the CBD, for starters.
That's true.
I think our closest one there was Belmont, which is about 13 kilometres, and then we went right out to Kashmir, which is about 22 kilometres. Quite rural as well. If it's not rural now, it has been, and it's come from that rural side of things, even down to Albany Creek. Albany Creek, I would not say is rural now.
Absolutely not.
Still some pockets in around Albany Creek as you head out there where I think there is still a horse riding section out along Albany Creek Road, I think it is. So there is some sections like that in there, but it's more now residential, whereas places like Brookfield, Kashmir, those sort of places, there is still larger blocks of land and more residential. Maybe it's that lifestyle. People want to get away from the city and get a bigger block of land and live in a bit of a farm sort of life.
I wonder. And, you know, it's not our job to determine the reason why, but this is the data, and it's always good to understand what could be the reason behind some of this data. And the other thing that I would say is that if we were looking at these suburbs on the city planning scheme maps for any of these local council regions, these areas would be predominantly low density housing. So whether they are acreage housing or low density housing, these areas do not have high density zoning. They don't have volumes of units or townhouses. In fact, I would argue some of them have no units and townhouses. So they are all low development or low density locations. And in actual fact, just to verify whether we could see any trends in the data, we sort of reverse engineered the data to have a look at which suburbs had the highest volume of people coming and going within that 5-year period leading up to the census night in 2021. And I think you'd be surprised to know that in the most transient suburb, nearly 80% of residents were new over a 5-year period. And that suburb was Spring Hill in Brisbane, just to the north. 21% of the residents in that suburb are residing in Spring Hill as at the 2021 census date were there 5 years prior. So a suburb like Spring Hill, you see a high volume of people coming and going within a 5-year period. And there's other suburbs also that, you know, match this same trend. One such suburb, Woolloongabba, 22.4% of the population only remaining in place over a 5-year period. Milton, Kelvin Grove, West End, Kangaroo Point, Albion, Lutwyche, Chermside, these suburbs all have a volume of residents less than 30% that are remaining in place over the 5 years prior to the most recent census. Now, that's very, very different compared to some of these more tightly occupied suburbs where people don't necessarily relocate as often. And it does tell you more about the types of neighbourhoods that you can expect in some of these areas. You've got no guarantee that the neighbours will be the same 5 years from now. And of course, you don't have any guarantee regardless of what suburb you'd be buying into. But, you know, there's going to be some areas where it's much higher risk that you're going to have new neighbours in the future compared to today.
It is interesting information. When you look at the top 10 of the where people don't leave, and we've ranged from about 62% to 68%. And then you look at those other areas as the opposite, I suppose, to what I was talking about, is getting in closer towards the CBD, which most of these are, and you're ranging from 21 to 30%. So it's a big difference between those areas. And it does chop and change between certain areas. As I mentioned earlier, you know, where we are, we've been here for 23 years, I think. I had to think about that. And again, we've been in this location for 23 years. Our neighbors have been there for 23 years. There's some areas, neighbors in that street that have been there for a similar time, but then some have come and gone and changed. So it is understanding how people come and go from the areas, because that does change the way you want to live and change the neighborhood and how the neighborhood changes over time.
And I will say, some of those areas that are more transient, as you might have picked up when we were running through those suburbs, they're typically those suburbs that have high density unit development. So much, much higher density living, and therefore a higher likelihood that you've got a higher portion of investment properties and tenants occupying those dwellings. And typically the tenure or the duration that a tenant might stay in place would be a shorter period of time compared to an owner occupier. And we haven't run the analysis within our in-house research team to share on this podcast in terms of the correlations between the tenure in terms of the time frame living at a location and the percentage of owner occupiers or the percentage of tenants, but I'm sure we'd pick up some relationships there, and also in terms of density. So hopefully there's some good information in what we've been able to share today.
So what would your three takeaways be then?
Well, takeaway number one, your neighbourhood, and in fact, your neighbours, how they exist today, it may not be the same as 5 years from now. It does depend on the suburb that you're buying into and potentially the density of that suburb based on the information that we've been able to pick up today. Number two, low density neighbourhoods. Typically, we'll see residents stay in place longer than high density neighborhoods. So number three takeaway, if you're buying into a high density area, it's more likely that you'll have a more transient movement of people coming and going over the next 5 years. That's certainly what history has showed us. So they're my top three takeaways.
Excellent. Thanks again to Pauline for all that work and putting all this information together for us. It's so helpful, and I know you love doing this. I'm sure that before Melinda wraps it all up, she's probably got a a final thought for everyone?
Yeah, I've just got something to think about and ponder. If you're a regular podcast listener, you will recall that we've talked a lot more recently, especially over the last couple of years, about the resurgence and popularity of the unit market here in Brisbane. And off the back of this information that we've shared today, obviously this information is up to 2021 census data. And now that we're starting to see much higher demand for units and townhouses from owner occupiers simply because of affordability constraints, it will be interesting to see if any of these trends change in the future. So that's just something to think about. It's not something to potentially have an answer for, but obviously data is great, but it's understanding how that data relates to what's actually happening in the greater environment and how applicable it is in the current environment that makes the most sense.
Excellent. Hopefully that's been interesting information for everyone. Just a quick heads up for everyone, just to let you know, we've got a lot of plans happening for this year for the podcast. We've got some great guests coming and we've got some awesome information coming your way. So stay tuned and let everyone know to listen to the Brisbane Property Podcast if they want to learn more and get some good information on property in Brisbane. So as usual, I'll let Melinda wrap it up. Thanks very much for listening. It's been great and take care and bye for now.
Yes, thanks once again for joining us on the Brisbane Property Podcast. We would love for you to leave us a review on your favourite podcast player or share this episode with friends and family, especially if they're looking to relocate so that they can get an understanding of some of the local neighbourhoods. As always, we look forward to speaking with you again next week. Until then, bye for now.
Thanks for tuning in today. Please remember everything we have spoken about on this podcast is general in nature, and we always recommend that you obtain independent advice in relation to your specific circumstances. If you liked today's episode, don't forget to subscribe or leave us a review on iTunes. And of course, tell your friends about us. If you would like to get in contact, please visit www.brisbanepropertypodcast.com.au or email us at info@brisbanepropertypodcast.com.au. Feel free to send in any questions and we will try to answer them in future episodes.